Thanks, Nora.
This is Joe Tugas reporting for Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Throughout the world, violence against women is an ancient plague of most societies. It is a phenomenon that is worsened by war, oppression, insecurity, chaos, and patriarchy. In the Middle East, the patriarchal religions of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism often merge with tribalism in ways that lead men to injure and kill women in horrific ways. The reasons, although sometimes arbitrary, are often connected to the preservation of the family's honor according to ancient customs, hence the term honor killing. In Iraq, so-called honor killings of women are increasing due to U.S. policy in the region. America's historic reliance on fundamentalist militias in the Middle East, such as the Taliban in Afghanistan, has served to proliferate and legitimize honor killings. The brutality of the U.S. occupation of Iraq is entrenching the custom of honor killing by increasing local support of anyone who resists American genocide, such as Islamic fundamentalists like Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. Recently, an honor killing in Iraq has sparked international outrage after it was recorded by cell phone video cameras and posted on the internet. On April 7th, a 17-year-old girl in Kurdistan was stoned to death by 1,000 men, including members of her own family. The police, who were trained by U.S. and U.K. forces, ensured no one could interfere with the girl's murder. The U.S. supports the Kurdish government that not only allows the killings to happen, but also is moving to codify this practice in the Constitution in the form of Sharia law, which is further legitimizing the killings. On this issue, I spoke with Hossein Mahmoud, who works with the International Campaign Against Killing and Stoning of Women in Kurdistan. Here is Hossein Mahmoud.
The occupation of Iraq brought so much misery with itself to the society in Iraq, and particularly to the women, because the major problem is lack of security, as we have been saying that for the last 4 years, actually, since the beginning of the occupation. And when you have no security, there will be no protection for the civilians, and particularly women will be fallen first victims of this chaotic situation and lack of security and stability in the country. And the killings of women under all different names is actually at the moment widespread throughout Iraq, and nobody takes responsibility for it. For example, every day tens of women, they get killed throughout the country, and their bodies are either dumped into the rivers or on the roadside or anywhere just possible. And really, killing of women is becoming a very deadly phenomenon in Iraq, and it is just unbelievable the number of women that are getting killed on a daily basis. And for the reasons that they get killed for it, it's very small reasons, or sometimes for no reason, just for being a woman, it makes you a prime target to be killed, raped, attacked, beheaded, mutilated. All kinds of, methods of violence against women are being used.
And what's the connection between this and Sharia law?
In reality, Sharia law, it denies all kinds of rights to women, and it will make women submissive, subhumans. Basically, they will have no rights in reality. And in Iraq, since the invasion, there has been a lot of empowerment and strengthening of the Islamist trends. Political Islamist groups have been empowered both in the parliament, in the so-called parliament, the majority of Shiites have the majority of seats, and outside the parliament, this so-called resistance, they have various militias and gangsters and groups who are terrorizing the society and particularly targeting women. And of course, they all want to impose Islamic laws and Islamic values and Islamic Sharia law, which is completely discriminative against women.
And how has the U.S. occupation of Iraq affected these groups' ability to impose their brand of Sharia law in the region?
When they have written up the constitution for Iraq, and they said this document has been written in a democratic way and according to Iraqi culture, which in my opinion, there's nothing called culture, there's nothing called democracy in Iraq. It was a constitution, more or less an agreement piece of paper between different fractions and sects and tribes and Islamist groups in power. And they all actually are equally reactionary and anti-women. Therefore, the Islamic Sharia law is now, Islam, they stated that Islam is the main, is the official religion of the state, and Islamic Sharia law is the main source of legislation making, and nothing can contradict that. And this has written under the supervision of the U.S. And they say that this is the culture of Iraqi people. This has nothing to do with Iraqi people. This constitution has been written up by a few people who have been chosen and appointed by the political parties in power. So you can imagine the forced Islamization actually began since the occupation and under the influence of the U.S. and U.K. governments, who are responsible for the occupation of Iraq, of course. And on the ground, as I said, there are various militias terrorizing people, targeting women, and clamping down on women's independence and trying to push back women to the corners of their houses, really. I mean, this is a very major problem that we have in Iraq right now.
What sort of material support do these militias receive from the United States?
The ones who are in power, the Shiites, of course they have been all supported by the US-UK government in the parliament. They have the majority of seats. And those outside, for example, with Muqtada Sadr's group, you know, they want to compromise. I mean, they bring them to the parliament. Sometimes he withdraw, and he has an armed militia as well, an armed wing. It's the same with the Islamic Supreme Council. The Badr Army belongs to the majority of Shiites in the parliament, and they're actually terrorizing people in the same way that the Muqtada Sadr's groups are doing. So you can see that really Iraqi people, Iraqi society is being smashed down between various forces and different factions and different sects of Islam who are actually in power, or if not in power, they are in opposition, and they both victimize the society, and they both actually victimize the people and the women of Iraq. And this is something very dangerous to the future of the society, to the future of the country, and it brings with itself the most reactionary anti-woman, anti-human norms and values. And they impose it on women, and they impose it on the society. Therefore, you can see woman killing is widespread and everywhere. Just, I got a letter today from Yinar Mohammed, president of Organization of Women's Freedom, saying that 10 women in one bus, they were all beheaded and mutilated because they were stopped in a checkpoint by a particular Islamist militia or gangster. This woman must have belonged to a particular religious sect. I mean, that doesn't mean that they really believe in that sect or not. Just because of their names, they were all killed, these women. I mean, this is unbelievable of what's happening today to women in daylight, in open. And I can take you to the case of the stoning, the recent stoning of Dua Khalil Aswad, 17-year-old girl. She was stoned in public to death in front of 2,000 men. I mean, this was horrific. This is a horrific message to our society, actually.
In the video, you can see that there are police officers present observing.
Yes.
They have AK-47s. They have clearly the weaponry necessary to disperse the crowd, and yet they're doing nothing. Why do you think that is?
Well, basically, these are the police forces that the U.S. and U.K. have been claiming that they have been forming police force for Iraq. You know, these are the police forces that belong to this current government that has been installed in power, and they don't do anything to protect women, because basically in their duty there is no protection for women. And they are just watching. They are part of the crowd watching how Dua is getting stoned. And more sadly, they got cleared. These three police officers, they were cleared recently and they got released. So you can imagine a police officer whose duty is to protect people, actually he is watching someone being stoned to death in the most horrific way. I mean, they are actually guarding the crowd who are stoning Dua. They are not trying to protect her. So you can see this is the culture of the government. This is the culture of its police. This is the culture of the occupying forces, in my opinion. It has nothing to do with people and who wants to break out and do such a horrific crime.
And since the stoning of Dua, have any more women been stoned to death in Kurdistan?
Not particularly stoned to death, but actually many more women have been killed. Since then, I can easily say between another 30 or 40 cases of women I've heard, and I've received names and some of the pictures as well. They either commit suicide, they either get killed by their own family members, strangled, burned down, or basically they just kill them, simply shoot them. One of them is a 12-year-old girl. Can you imagine a 12-year-old girl get killed by her own father opposite the Ministry of Human Rights in Kurdistan. And her father claims that she was in love with a neighbor. I mean, what a 12-year-old girl in that society knows anything, let alone falling in love. I mean, this is the situation that we have, actually.
You say this happened right adjacent to the Ministry of Human Rights in Kurdistan. What is the Ministry of Human Rights doing and saying about this practice?
Well, the problem is they sometimes denounce the killing openly. I mean, publicly, they sometimes say, well, this has to end. We condemn this. We denounce it and so on and so on. But in reality, they don't do much to stop it. They don't change the laws. They don't bring in laws and reforms that can actually punish the killers, that can actually provide immediate protection to women and girls. If a woman is under the threat, she doesn't know where to go. Because even if she goes to the police, they will hand her over back to her family to be killed. This is the situation. For example, in the case of Dua Khalil, the Kurdistan regional government denounced the stoning. But actually what they are doing to prevent other women from being killed, nothing. This is the problem that we have there.
Before the U.S. occupation, under the Saddam Hussein regime, how frequent did this sort of thing happen? How frequently?
There was killing of women, there was rape and torture and all those things in Iraqi prisons under Saddam's regimes because, as you know, it was a dictator, a fascist regime, killing people who were more or less involved in politics or had something to do with politics. Whereas there was a routine, a daily routine life, people could go to work, educate themselves. You know, there were some kind of basic rights for women and things like that. But right now, the situation is far more chaotic and dangerous than under Saddam's regime. There was one dictator before, but right now, really, there are many more, and they all have various agendas and anti-women, all of them. And they are all armed, and they are armed militias, and they are brutal, and they are capable of committing any kind of crimes against humanity in daylight. This is a very huge problem we have. Of course, that doesn't mean that we want Saddam's regime to have continued. Of course not. But as we said, even prior to the invasion, we don't want Saddam. We don't want the occupation. We want Iraqi people to be able to form the kind of political system that they want on their own effort, but with the support and solidarity from the people around the world. That would have been the best solution for the people on the ground because there has already been I struggle against it. People in the north, in the south, they fought against the Saddam's regime throughout decades. And therefore, we had the most infamous prisons and tortures and killings and genocide and everything against the people going on the ground. So there wasn't really much of a foreign intervention to overthrow Saddam in such a way. And people could have done it, but they were always putting sanction on Iraq for 13 years, disabling the people's struggles, but actually that strengthening the brutality of the government against us. So there has been this kind of politics towards Iraq throughout these decades, and that's why we can see the outcome right now. The society is going towards a very bleak, darker future.
Global human rights groups such as Amnesty International have condemned Doa's killing and violence against women throughout the world. Within the United States, 1,400 women are murdered every year by their husbands or boyfriends, according to the National Organization of Women. In San Francisco, Soraya Sayadi, a Kurdish-Iraqi human rights activist, is sending a petition to the Iraqi government demanding action against honor killings. She also held a discussion panel last week at San Francisco University to address the issue of honor killings and violence against women.
After that, I have put a resolution together for city San Francisco city supervisors. They will pass it, and we will take all this back and the report from Amnesty International back to the president regional government, this Masoud Barzani and Jalal Talabani, the president of Iraq, to tell them that Sharia law and honor killing is not allowed.
I'm Joe Tugas reporting for Flashpoints.